welcome aboard our vessel. I'll be your captain. Join me and my trusty ally, the cook, as we set sail through our relationship with music, film, literature, and everything in between, as well as our ongoing exploration into mental health and well-being. Anchors up.
Ian Dye.
Tree.
Which kind of tree? Oh, do you even do my tree joke
Oak.
Again?
You. Redwood.
A bloke
redwood.
Tree.
Bloke tree.
We'll forget about that.
We will forget about that.
That was done on the last episode for anyone who wants to go revisit my joke.
Your Sudoku one was better.
I know, but I feel like we've done that before, haven't
we?
How are you?
Yeah, good. We were just reviewing our weeks a bit, weren't we?
We've got to repeat this bloody conversation.
I know.
We should have hit record.
We both had birthdays for the other halves
during
this time.
What did you do?
Went to London. We got off like, so we went to see Moulin Rouge. I recommend it to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot. It was what we expected. It was like there was one song that they mashed 15 songs into it.
Did they?
Like 15 different songs with love in the title and things. And you had, yeah, people like a male doing a song on Chandelier, so Sia.
Mm-hmm.
They did a rumba of Bad Romance.
Mm-hmm.
And turned it. It was really, like, genuinely, me and Shao both. Like, ooh, that's
quite
different
good.
And good.
And
yeah.
Visually good as well, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously we were walking, Shao said, oh, let's try and get a matinee. So yeah, okay. And I knew she was going to Frozen.
Yeah.
Like, she wanted to go again. So we went in and we managed to get half price, row G in the stalls.
Was it?
Yeah. We got there 2 minutes before it started.
Did you?
And they obviously just wanted to get rid of the ticket. So
nice.
Yeah. So yeah, and actually we saw the understudy for Anna's first performance.
Oh, there you go.
Which was quite nice to
That's nice.
To see,
and you went to the Disney 100.
We did the Disney 100 exhibition, which was, yeah, it was good.
You know,
it's interesting, like, chat, we were reflecting. Whenever anything has Disney, people take kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't really, like, it wasn't that interactive. It was like an exhibition of like, just talking through and stuff. It's just that concept of Disney instantly want to take children, which is understandable, but it wasn't set up.
Yeah, so it wouldn't have been that good if you took children, would it?
I'd say teenagers might be all right in it, but
okay.
Anyway. How about you? Yeah.
Sarah's birthday, we've gone out for food, actually, the weekend this comes out.
Mm.
So we're going to Maison de Boeuf in Cardiff, which we fancy, and a few drinks, which I'm looking forward to. But on Monday, for Sarah's actual birthday, we dumped the Sprog off in school, and then we went to Cleon.
Nice.
So we wandered around because I think we both realised, like, me and my mum have played guitar at the Cleon Festival before. It's been there a few times. I always think it's a great place for a pub crawl, Cleon, isn't it? Because there's like 8 pubs in like a 10-minute walk.
Sounds like a challenge.
But
it begins with C as well.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
But also, I think, like, just the fact that, the Roman history there, you know, so we went to the museum, we went to look at the amphitheatre. The amphitheatre is one of the best preserved in Europe. And as a settlement, it's one of the best preserved in Europe as well.
I fell into the amphitheatre last year.
Did you?
I went for a walk and I stumbled and rolled down.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was on the side going, whoa!
Yeah, I know. It's like a new entrance for a gladiator. It's me stumbling in.
So we did, we did that and nice. It was good. And then we went to the market to get food and it was shut on a Monday. It's only probably Monday. So we went to the old trusty Nook.
Mm-hmm.
Who have now changed their menu and they're doing specials every day.
That's cool.
So the food is delicious. So yeah, we're going out. I mean, this will be out afterwards, but we're going out on the weekend and we're looking for some cocktails and some nice food. But yeah, challenges. So I got two.
You got one. Yeah,
how did you get on with Mr. Jekyll?
I didn't do it.
I know you did.
Yeah.
Well, you lied on Goodreads.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I really enjoyed it. It was a book where I sat down and I read 50 pages in one sitting.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to stop because I want to extend it.
So I was
doing 10 pages a day because it was almost too short for me, if that makes sense.
Sure.
It was such a well-written book that I was just immersed. I was like, I could read it. Like, I could read it again now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was nice after reading it, actually going to London because obviously it was set sort of Soho, that sort of area parts of it. So just walking, just walking around with that.
Trying
but
to feel that atmosphere.
The concept of the parts of self, and having that, the evil side coming out, but then trying to control it. But then when you try and control it too much, it's like, no, I need to come out.
You can't keep me.
You can't suppress me. And identity. For a book that was written so long ago, I'm hooked on that.
I read it every year. I told you that.
Yeah, and I can see why.
You brought it back. I'll probably literally read it like Sunday, Monday, Halloween. That's tenderizing.
And you'll probably pick up it's a sword book, I think you pick out different stuff each time.
Yeah, you do. Definitely. You know, and
it was very like a picture instantly, everything. Like, yeah. Some books take me a while to get into it, but this one, no, thank you.
That's all right.
I enjoyed it. And you had Woman in Black.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, my Goodreads, I finished it, funny enough, last night. Mm. And again, I was flying through it. You know, I mean, it's about 160 pages. So a bit like Jekyll and Hyde, quite a quick read over Halloween. Brilliant. I loved it. I was like, I always look at like when the books were written and first published and stuff like that. And I was quite surprised that it was, I think it was like 83 or something like that.
Yeah.
That Susan
Hill.
That's the one who wrote it. Because she's obviously written it with an earlier sort of frame of mind. It reminded me a lot of Jekyll and Hyde, the way it's written. I know it's more set, maybe there's cars around, isn't there? So it's like 30s, 40s. I don't know exactly when, because she doesn't. There's a good thing about horror stories, they don't always tell you when, you know. But I just think that you can picture this almost beautiful place, but that is absolutely like being terrorized by a spirit who's suffering from grief. So I think I put in my review about it, we explore grief a lot on here. I know that's an area that you work with. It's like the power of grief. And I obviously won't give it away. People should read it. It's a quick read, really, and a very good read. But the way it ends, it just captures that sadness. Like, and I think I put on my review the last line, something along the lines of, I've been told to tell my story, so that's it, enough. You know, and then it finishes, and I thought, well, that's one of the best last lines to a book I think I've ever read. So, yeah, love that. And then Rogue Jones, you know, Welsh Music Prize winners. Got to be honest, I hadn't heard them.
Yeah.
I think that's the beauty of Wales. There's so much music coming out at the moment. We're discovering all the time. But when you talk about like a mosaic of music, you know, it starts off quite rocky, doesn't it? Like, you know, with more of a punk style track, but you hear pop, you hear folk, you hear probably a bit more melodic stuff. So really, really good. Again, recommend it. But when they were on the list, you know, I think I had CVC down to win because of just what they've done. They've been touring America and all that. But fair play, Dos Babies, or Bebes, or Babies, however you pronounce it, by Rogue Jones. Definitely worth a listen.
Yeah,
you've listened to it again. You dive back into the new as
well. Yeah, same as you. You know, it's just, I know I say it quite a bit, it's an easy one to pick. I like the fact this is the bilingual as well.
Yes.
You know, so there's a bit of the Welsh and there's a bit of the English, you know, language in there, and the different sounds. It's just a nice one to chuck on. I might try on like a Sunday morning.
Yeah, that'd be a good sort of time.
Yeah, because it's got a variety of sound. You know, it's quite a nice.
When you're cooking or something fit. Or doing breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
so horror today, mate.
Let's go. Ooh. God, we didn't even plan that.
We need to get proper sound effect. Actually, it's more fun just to do ourselves now. Cheaper.
Yeah, they've had Chewy, they've had Ghosts.
Oh, Chewy.
What's next? I listened to that just now, I'll be honest. Oh, man, mine was dreadful.
Yeah, it was. The first one.
The first
one. You sort of redeemed it a bit then,
didn't
you?
Like I was clearing my throat in the first one.
That's how I seem to remember it going. But yeah, it is. Well, this will be going out on just before Halloween, won't
hopefully.
It? So when you're listening to this, because obviously we do have to record it a little bit in advance.
Yeah.
Halloween should be tomorrow.
Yes, it should be.
Should be tomorrow.
Should be tomorrow.
So we thought we would do a Halloween special.
Yeah.
So where do you want to start? Because I know at this time of year, isn't it weird, right? We talked about books and we exchanged our favourite sort of horror style books recently, or Halloween theme, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird though, it's like Christmas. There's some films that are just really good, but you only watch them at like Halloween or Christmas, isn't it?
Now, here's the first question which I'll pose to people.
I know what you're going to say.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Halloween or Christmas film.
A lot of people, when I read about this, technically say it's a Halloween film, isn't it? But people watch
it. We watch it at Christmas.
We watch it at Christmas too.
Yeah.
Well, that's the list. Maybe poll that one. We'll poll that one.
Yeah, let's poll it. Let's
they can vote and tell us. Why do we always have to make it? There's so much that goes into this pod, planning, preparation.
Yeah, let other people do stuff for us. But and I think it's sort of acknowledging, I know people have different views on Halloween. Myself, obviously, you know, I have a certain view.
Yeah, of course.
On Halloween. I guess essentially, you know, if you look at church, you look at faith, so it's All Hallows Eve.
Yeah.
So it was a sense of holding a vigil.
Yep.
Prepare themselves, prayers, fasting. I know a lot of churches do like light parties.
Yes.
So things like that. And then actually the day after Halloween is mine and Charlotte's anniversary. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
But it's All Saints Day. So that's where sort of I guess it's predominantly Catholics, but other Christians. So it honours all the saints of the church who've deemed to attain heaven. So we're sort of just celebrating all saints. You know, everyone. Okay, not the band.
Yeah, of course. No pure, sure, pure and simple.
But yeah, so I think it's just acknowledging that, you know, because people have views, have faith, but we are going to talk about Halloween concepts, bit of spooky stuff, a few horror stories, those sort of things, you know, and let's
see where we go.
Where do we start? I'd say where do we start and I'll carry on talking.
Yeah, go on.
Let's go with books.
Yes. You
know, our challenges were books, which we've just spoken about.
Yeah.
You know, and it is, I find it's impressive if a book manages to scare you.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever had it. Mm. I genuinely don't think I have. The thing is for me, like, I used to read at school, so obviously to enjoy like reading, but I've only really unlocked a love for reading since being with Sarah. Sarah was an English literature student. She's always read. She talks about like going to the library with her dad from a young age.
Yeah.
So always went to the library, picked out her own books, where I just sort of read what was in school. And then as I got older, started pick up like funny books by Peter Kay, things like that. But like talking about like sort of horror books, I did read The Signalman, which is a short story by Charles Dickens that gave that feeling of it. Mm. And the first time I read Jekyll and Hyde, and that's why I read it every year, because I love it. I think it's a great story and I love the concept of it. And we still use the phrase Jekyll and Hyde now, don't we, just to describe people. Like, you know, if you're showing, feeling one thing one day and then flipping another the other day. So that one was like where I could picture it. Mm. I could picture those grey streets of London, you know, and this sort of character scurrying about almost to try and hide himself when he was presenting as Mr. Hyde. So, yeah, any for you?
I think there's some which... There's a guy, James Herbert, so I've got loads of his books.
Yeah.
He writes concepts that are almost believable.
Okay.
So, like, there's one... I nearly recommended it for you for the challenge, but it's called The Rats.
Okay.
And it's about, essentially, like, rats on the underground.
Okay.
But they actually become... They grow in size, they grow in number, and they start attacking, and they start taking over.
Okay.
There's another one about fog, so it's called The Fog, and it's about a fog. Like, you know, when London had like the smog and all of that coming over, and actually that the fog was a killer fog.
Okay.
So there's little ones like that. But I think I've always loved horror books. I've always read horror books. James Herbert, there's a guy, Christopher Ransom, who wrote a lot. Obviously Stephen King, you know, we have to acknowledge
his
work,
Susan
Hill. But I think going back, it started with Goosebumps.
Yeah, R.L. Goosebumps, Stein, didn't it?
And just all. But I'm pretty sure they're making a comeback. I might be wrong.
No, I saw it advertised on Netflix or Disney or something.
Yeah,
the other day,
didn't Jack Black? He was in one of the films.
He was in one of the films. Yeah.
But I think that's where it probably started for me, from Goosebumps and reading those books that were only like 80 pages, big print. Nice
easy to read.
Yeah, reading that, then going to bed.
It's quite scary. Yeah. As a kid.
As a child.
Or even now. I don't know. Like, for me, I definitely remember film. Mm. And I've watched a lot of horror films over time. Haven't for a while. And I think like modern horror to me is like, it's not something so direct. It's things like Stranger Things, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like when you watch that.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people have referenced it to The Goonies. Now, we watched The Goonies when we were kids. You know, but like if you look at Stranger Things now, I rewatched the first episode of the latest season recently, which, as always with an open scene, it builds up to the end. But the first time Vecna comes into it, and it's terrifying. He emerges from the darkness, you know, and he's got that student, doesn't he? She's sort of trapped. And obviously with graphics and everything now as well, it's really frightening. But then are we more desensitized now? Because I think the first horror film that I got scared watching when I was a teenager was The Exorcist. I watched it with my uncle at like midnight.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that freaked me out.
And it's stuff like that, isn't it? When you watch it, the time you watch it, what, you know, like watch, if you watch The Exorcist, say 10 o'clock in the morning, it would have been very different.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very different experience. But so I can remember, so with that Stranger Things episode, this latest series, so Charlotte's not a fan of horror.
Yeah.
She doesn't like it. And there's a big thing about the grandfather clock.
Mm.
And we watched it, turned off, going up to bed, and I started making the noise.
Yep.
The look I got, I decided probably shouldn't start being a grandfather clock somehow. But it is, it's those little things.
Sounds.
That really get into people's heads. And then you've got, like, I think it's the rule of three. So where if you watch horror films, you expect you're going to jump, you expect you're going to jump, then you jump.
Yeah,
that's kind
yeah.
of how they do it. And what I like is sometimes people, like some of the directors, play about with that. So I've watched some films.
They change the timing.
Yeah, The Strangers was one. I watched it years ago. Not many people know about
it. Is it Dean Koontz's book that originally might have been, I think,
might
The Strangers?
Be. So it's about a group of people who literally just knock on a door and terrorise a house.
Ah, okay.
I watched it, yeah, a long time ago, but that had it. So like, I was like, oh, I've nearly jumped. Yeah. Okay, I don't need to watch it. Bang, went again.
Yeah.
If we're on films, I'm going to tell Paranormal Activity.
I think
that was one that really... Like, that got sort of the immersiveness. And I, me and Priest went to watch the second one. And for some reason, we were the only two in the cinema.
Was you?
And it was the second or the third. And it's a point where, like, everything explodes in the kitchen. Everything opens, falls down. And just before that, I saw something. I said, oh, can you see that? He's like, oh, no, I can't see it. No, I can't see it. Because it was just us. I started walking down the steps to point out on the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
At that point, everything flew open. And Priest said I just disappeared. Because obviously I was walking and I just went down into the chair.
Oh, my God.
Where it just caught me.
Scared you.
Unawares. And just my instinct was dive out of the way.
I honestly think that's your own fault for approaching a big screen on a horror film.
I know. But when films do that, I think that's good, that's got me.
I think with Paranormal Activity, it was like Blair Witch Project, stuff like that. It was more the psychological angle, wasn't it? Like, whereas like you'd watch, say, Halloween, the film, you know, Mike Myers, that was your stabber, you know, he'd wear a mask and it was very obvious, wasn't it, that he was terrorising the town, you know. Scream then, more modern, wasn't it? You sort of knew these killers were going around.
Yeah.
Things like Paranormal Activity, Blair Witch Project, is almost things that they're believable.
Yeah.
So, you know, I remember watching Blair Witch Project, similar to what you said about Paranormal Activity. We were only young, but we used to stay over my mate's house, Dale, a lot. And Dale, it was his birthday, so he was having a sleepover, like me and my cousin, Ashley. And they'd got, his mum was like, right, she was always quite funny about horror films. Cause I remember she used to have like Halloween on the, like, and some other ones, she never let us watch them. Then one year, I can't remember if we were 14, 15, they'd gone to Blockbusters or the rental place and they got Blair Witch Project because Dale really wanted to watch it. And I remember staying up and watching it and being madly underwhelmed by it. The only thing I remember from it that was a bit freaky was, I think the person filming it loses her crew, doesn't she, and whatever, and then she goes into like this little house cabin thing and the cameraman stood against the wall and then he looks over his shoulder and then it goes a bit funny. But what I do remember about that film was for probably 90 minutes being on edge. So nothing really majorly happened that scared me.
Yeah.
But I was probably scared for the whole time, if that
made sense,
for something.
It's like that, and you know, the same with Paranormal Activity. You don't see what's causing it.
No.
And that's what I like about it. It's like your imagination can run wherever it wants to. But from what I remember with Blair Witch Project, it was the marketing behind it beforehand where I can remember thinking, is this a document? Is this real or is this a film?
Yeah.
Because they pumped so much into the marketing and the adverts and talking about it. And yeah, I think that really drew people in, and the intrigue and the question. I mean, now we know it's, well, I hope it's a film. I guess it's a film.
Yeah,
you know,
who knows? Exactly. Yeah. And it's the woods at night, isn't it? It's like, you know, it's scary. Like, you know, and talking about, you know, our next episode, which is just, I'm just looking at the release date now. You know, people can infer what they want from episode 99. But they had a budget for that film, Blair Witch, so you talk about, they probably did the majority of it on great marketing, as you said, because the budget to make it was between $200,000 to $750,000, but the box office, it made just shy of $250 million. So it sucked people in, like, you know, to want to know. I remember it being very subtle. I remember the DVD, you know, like when you sort of have a menu of a DVD and there'd be like it would just be a camera, like a handheld camera looking at the forest background. And every now and again, like a little sort of shadow would go across the screen. And that's what the Blair Witch was mainly about. But yeah, it's really, you know, and then you look back to like The Ring, psychological horror film.
I've
great film
well.
Again. Yeah. Great. Yeah.
Japanese or the American?
I watched the I watched the American first, and then watched
then
the Japanese.
Yeah, they do it a bit further, don't they?
They do it better.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got, again, we haven't looked into this, but their approach in Japan, horror is quite big, isn't it? So, yeah, it always goes a little bit further. I always think of, like, when they do other film adaptations, Old Boy, for example. Yeah. I love the Japanese version of Old Boy. Not so much of, was it Korean? I can't remember anyway, but they redid it in America. And I was like, I'm not as fussed. But yeah, that was another good one. And I did see the other day from a funny angle, someone at a Comic Con, who was dressed as the television, and then she could step out of it.
Oh,
she could step
cool.
out of the television. Yeah. That was cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Memories of favourite things you've dressed up as a kid.
I don't know, because I'll be honest, I didn't do Halloween as a kid.
I did. Ghostbusters.
So, yeah.
I used to.
So I think I would do that if I did it, yeah.
Well, I just think, for me personally, because I was absolutely obsessed with Ghostbusters, anytime I got... I don't think it had to be Halloween.
Yeah.
I do remember, funny though, but being a student, and it was Halloween night at the student union, and Grant not being prepared for it in the queue, and just literally grabbed a bin bag, did the old school wrap the bin bag around him and said he was Dracula.
I have got a mask in the house that, you know, the Dark Knight, the very start where they do the bank heist.
Yes, yeah,
I've got one of those, but it's the proper latex, fits over.
Is there?
Yeah, so I'm not allowed to wear that, but I might wear that one day when we go out. Put it on. But going back, I think I'm gonna wind back a while now for the concept of film.
Yeah, yeah, go on.
And just a bit of sort of theatre in it as well, because you got the theatre and his double, so Antoine Artaud, so he's a French director. He spent a lot of time, I mean, it's his words, in asylums,
okay,
which is where he did a lot of writing,
yeah,
and a lot of mental health. And it almost linked me back then to, I don't know if you've seen it, the French silent film, An Andalusian Dog.
Because, can I just say, is this where it inspired, did that inspire Salvador Dali to do a painting? And the Pixies sung about it, didn't they?
Did they? Okay. So, yes, it was written by Dali, yeah.
On Cheyenne Andalusia, yeah.
Yeah, and that film, we saw it when we were studying Arto in, would have been sixth form. And you can get it on Prime. So it's 16 minutes long.
Oh,
so I recommend if people want to watch it, just prepare yourself, because it starts with a woman cutting her eye with a razor blade. It's really, and that's what, the theatre of cruelty, which is what Artaud's concept is making people feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
Watching stuff, whether it's on stage or whether on TV, and really making you feel almost repulsed or uncomfortable at that point where you're like, I can't even look at that.
Okay.
So it's a really... Yeah, but I didn't realise it was on Prime, so I'm going to... Yeah, I'm definitely going to be watching
that. If everyone thinks of the Pixies song...
Yeah.
Is that on Shane and Lucia, I want you to know... Shit, and it's based on that.
On that,
like, yeah. I'll have a look at that.
1929.
Mad.
It's released.
And I know I saw some clips the other day of, like, early German horror films as well. It was like, I follow a page on Instagram, I think it's called History and Memes or something, and they show, like, old clips. Very sort of psychologically, like, sort of unsettling.
Yeah.
And the early Disney ones. Was it an early clip of like Disney's... there's an early clip that circulates. I'll find it and I'll try and share it to our page. And I can't remember if it's Alice in Wonderland or one of them. Anyway, it was like from the 20s or 30s, like a take on it.
Yeah.
And it is like, you know, the fact that would have been for kids then, I think kids now would be absolutely terrified watching it. But again, it was a different time.
Yeah.
So...
And it's taking in, building on this with... elements, well, with school, because like I said, we studied it, and it's just made me remember. So for our final piece, our final assessment, we actually went to the butcher's and got a pig's head.
Did you?
And we took everything out. Mm-hmm. So then partway through, the girls, it was Medea we did, so it's sort of Greek mythology, but had to be uncomfortable. The girl, Chloe, was playing Medea, actually like covered herself in proper intestines.
Wow.
It was like throwing it over the audience and stuff, and that's what it wants to do, is repulse you and really make you feel uncomfortable.
Well,
but
I
completely, because I can remember, because we took the eyes out and they were sticking to the wall, so we
oh
just kept
my
launching
God.
The eyes.
You could buy toys to do that.
Yeah.
Mind you, that's going to go on. I've said to you earlier, didn't I, that I saw an article a few years ago about in Wales, obviously listeners know where we're from, that we have our own traditions, and I remember reading about one that I read to you, which just links to you saying the pig's head. So I'll say it now. So there's certain traditions around. I'll give a bit of background first. So the Celtic calendar, this is an article on BBC, so I'll send this across, but the Celtic calendar divided the year into a light half and a dark half. So in a time long before supermarket central heating, food was scarce, people were worried that they and their livestock would not survive harsh weather through the winter. So pre-Christian folklore suggested that the first day of winter, when the dark half of the year began, was when the veil between our world and the other world, known as Annwn, was at its thinnest. And these beliefs eventually then combined with Christian festivals, which I think go back to about the mid-1700s. Mm. And we have the emergence of Noson Gal and Gaeaf, which is the Welsh word for art, the way we celebrate Halloween. And then from around the 9th century onwards, the Christian church adopted and adapted some of Samhain's traditions into its religious holidays of All Saints Day, which you talked about, which is the 1st of November, and All Souls Day, which is the 2nd of November. Both of these festivals were concerned with remembering and honouring the dead. Rather than eradicating pagan traditions completely, therefore, Christians sought to absorb certain rituals into their own faith. So it obviously comes from paganism as well initially. But then, one particular tradition that's unique to Wales is called the Hwch the Gutter, which is roughly translated as the tailless black sow. And this mythical beast was one of the most frightening ghosts connected with Noson Gal and Gaeaf. As the dark was drawn in, one of the local men would don a pigskin and chase the children home from the village bonfire. And children were told that the much feared Hwch the would catch the last child to make it home that night. And this would use as a game to scare the children, but also to get them home on time and teach them about the dangers of straying too far on their own. So challenge, Bryn. But that is just like traditions. Yeah. I only started reading about, I think this was a COVID time. So the article, I sat back reading into it. I bet there's places in villages in Wales and they'll carry that on. Yeah. They'll do it.
Yeah, they'll have someone dressed up and like ritualistically chasing people.
Yeah. You'd like to do that, wouldn't you?
It would be fun. I'd probably get too carried away or immersed in the role, wouldn't
I? Sprint into a pub at 10 o'clock at night dressed as it. Probably get beat up.
And speaking of pubs, obviously there's a Skirrid Inn, which is close to us, so Abergavenny.
Yep.
It's meant to be like one of the most haunted places, I think, in the UK, so it was used as a court of law. And I went there years ago, I think, with mum and dad. And they've still got the beam where used to hang people. So it's, So, and apparently markings still exist for the rope marks.
Do they?
Sort of on the beams. Yeah, so over 180 criminals were hung there.
Okay.
And yeah, obviously the joys of Most Haunted with good old Derek and
his
friend Sam. have attended it, but...
I think I think like, you know, going back a bit more, like I love these traditions. I like stories. That's where a lot of it comes from, isn't it? Yeah. Like when we were kids, like, you know, some of the old kids say, oh, don't camp up in those fields at night because the ghost of an old farmer would get you or something like that. Do you know what I mean? That's what scares the living daylights out of you. But going back to a different take on then horror was the scary movie films.
Yeah.
Because they came round at a like I still watch them, particularly the first two from time to time. And just so good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just like it became that like sort of, because then they did Disaster Movie after, didn't they? Yeah. And loads of other ones.
Had, I Know What You Did Last Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Which is similar to Scary Movie style. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever watch them though, the scary movies? Yeah. I think another challenge for people, if you're not one that likes the scary side of Halloween, you sort of get the essence of each film, don't you, that they're taking the mick out of, but obviously in a very, very funny, in a very, very funny way as well.
And with that, you've got films which probably don't take things as seriously. I think there's a Winnie the Pooh horror film.
Is there?
It was released last year. There's one, I've bought it. It's to do with sheep based in Wales.
Mm.
And I had the guy who played Paddy Dingle.
Did you? I thought it was in Emmerdale?
Yeah. It was like £3, so I bought it. Me and Priest watched it. Oh my word, it was just what you expected. But I guess part of that takes it from the Hammer Horror.
Yes.
You know, and going back to, you know, their whole concept. But a few of those were banned, weren't they?
I think
Hammer Horror. So they had to send a lot of their scripts to the censor and team at BBC
or
the British Board of Film Censors to see if it can,
get through.
Yeah.
Well, look, there's loads. I think for us, you know, we know we have listeners from all over the shop. Mm. If you've got traditions, we've talked about like Christmas ones, and we've always, is it in like what Scandinavian countries where they give a book the night before and they read? You've mentioned that.
Finland,
you
doing or
it,
Sweden.
Yeah, you
started
doing it with Charles, didn't you? Like,
say,
we buy a book and you sit and read the night before
yeah.
Christmas. So Halloween, we don't probably know as much about, do we, in terms of, I know we've got a lot of American listeners, you know, horror's big thing, decorating your house, isn't it? I think going back on that, the original reason of doing that was to ward off evil spirits, which is funny for me, because with all just reflection at the end here, it's meant to be a time of honouring the dead, isn't it?
Mm.
Right, but actually now they've made it into this scary thing, whereas actually for some religions, and I think if you think of Mexico where they do the Day of the Dead and stuff like that, it's very much a celebration, isn't it? Dressed as skeletons, colourful.
Not scary,
no, it's almost like a memorial of the of the dead as well. So that's an interesting little twist. I suppose that's capitalism at play, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like monetizing it and going, you can dress up in different outfits, you can decorate your house and make films and everything else off it. So any closing thoughts on Halloween?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think it is, like I said, people have different views, you know, and different concepts and beliefs around Halloween and stuff. Especially, actually, one thing I will say is with trick-or-treating.
Yes.
You know, and I know so our estate tends to have it. If there's a pumpkin outside, you can knock the door and that thing. And it is having that awareness, I guess, that for some people it's, you know, I know we close everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's just how it is. You know, we turn everything off because it's just not our thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to do. But
respect that with your kids.
Yeah,
it
respect it. But also, you know, it doesn't have to be scary stuff. It can be fun.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and
yeah,
watch some films.
Yeah.
Because there's some great ones out there.
And I think as well, for me, I'm thinking of just what I've said. Maybe use it as a period. If you have lost somebody, you know, and use it as a time to remember. If the traditional Halloween stuff's not for you, go back to what the real meaning of it was, is actually remembering the dead. And maybe spend a little bit of time of reflection, you know, and using that for that time for that. So a little bit of fun. Got a couple of sections to go, so we'll dip out.
Let's go.
And dip back in. Seagull. Corner. Ooh.
That's your hip again. Okay, so
bit of fun, is it?
Yeah, so a few jokes, a few facts. Do you want to start with a joke?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you want to start with a joke. Yeah.
What does a panda ghost eat?
Candy cane, I was going to say then.
No. Bamboo!
Oh, God. Candy cane. Why would that even be funny? Idiot. Because the movie... So I'll go with the fact.
Yeah.
Because the movie Halloween, which was released in 1978, I didn't realise that, was on such a tight budget, they had to use the cheapest mask they could find for the character Michael Myers, which turned out to be a William Shatner Star Trek mask. Shatner initially didn't know the mask was in his likeness, but when he found out years later, he said he was honoured. I think he was being sarcastic.
Why don't mummies have friends?
I don't know.
Because they're too wrapped up in themselves.
Oh, careful, Bryn. You know, misogynistic to like jokes to creep in. Right, the fact, the word witch comes from the Old English wiss, I think, or it's W-I-C-C-E, meaning wise woman. And in fact, Wiccan were highly respected people at one time. And according to popular belief, witches held one of their two main meetings, or sabbats, on Halloween night. Then obviously, I don't know the history of this, there's a period of time where they start, because witches were... People still live their lives as witches today, don't they? Yeah. But it was about like potions, healing, all that kind of stuff. But then I can't remember what... We'll have to look into that. What came in, and they started to literally burn them at the stake, didn't they? And it was something to do with, if they sunk, wasn't it? They weren't witches, but they would die.
Yeah.
And if they floated...
They were witches.
They were witches, they'd burn them at the stake anyway. Yeah, it's bonkers, isn't it?
Yeah. Why do vampires not want to become investment bankers?
I don't know.
Because they hate stakeholders.
Great there financial joke there.
Thanks. Covering all bases.
Right, fact number three.
Yoosh.
The owl is a popular Halloween image, as we know. So in medieval Europe, owls were thought to be witches. And to hear an owl's call meant someone was about to die.
Oh. Ooh. What do you call a cleaning skeleton?
I don't know.
The Grim Sweeper.
They're getting better, Brent, as you're going through.
I think
you're
that's
warming
four,
up.
So I've only got one more, so I better finish with a good one.
Right, okay. So, fact number four. According to Irish legend, jack-o'-lanterns are named after a stingy man named Jack, who, because he tricked the devil several times, was forbidden entrance into both heaven and hell. He was condemned to wander the earth, waving his lantern to lead people away from their paths.
Oh, let's finish with this one. What's a zombie's favourite cheese?
I don't know. Oh, you got to be a cheese joke, didn't there?
Zombie.
Makes me think, every time I hear the word zombie, makes me think of the Cranberry song.
Yeah.
Love that song. Yeah. I think the Irish rugby,
the Irish rugby team.
Yeah, they were singing it, weren't they? Yeah. Oh, which one shall I pick?
It's the last one. Better be good.
Oh, this is quite an interesting one. Okay. Black and orange are typically associated with Halloween. Mm-hmm. Orange is a symbol of strength and endurance, and along with brown and gold, stands for the harvest and autumn. And black is typically a symbol of death and darkness, and acts as a reminder that Halloween once was a festival that marked the boundaries between life and death. Going back to our fact about Wales, where they say that the line between our world and the other world is blurred. So there you go.
Nice.
Is that it?
I think so.
Oh, you did all your jokes, did you?
Oh, I can find more.
Can you do another one?
You want another one to finish? Oh, no. Okay, one sec. Oh, I've gone unprepared. One sec. I'll Google best Halloween joke.
I'll sweep in another fact in, because this is brilliant. Scottish girls believe they could see images of their future husband if they hung wet sheets in front of the fire on Halloween. Other girls believe they would see their boyfriend's faces if they looked into mirrors while walking downstairs at midnight on Halloween. Why would you want to? Anyway, yeah.
Okay, Halloween dad jokes. Here we go. So I'm going to go with, haven't read it. Why don't werewolves ever know the time?
I don't know.
Because they're not wenwolves.
Thanks, child.
Yeah, nice one. Whatever. Challenges. So, for you, I know you're into Welsh history.
Yeah.
I know you're into Newport history.
Yeah.
We've just done something on ghosts and horror, so find a few facts on haunted places in Newport.
Haunted places in Newport.
That maybe we could go to and do our own most haunted act.
That would be good. I wonder if there's anything linked to the Murringer. Oof.
A lot of souls left
that we need to spend about 4 hours thinking about. Right, I want you to create a new, like Mike Myers. I want you to create a new Halloween killer. Draw a picture if you like, or just simply give him a name and a backstory. So remember when we gave you the, was it the boxer before?
Yeah, I did create, okay. I did a Western character as well, I think.
Yeah, you have. Few.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe we'll bring that, because people, we have not forgot the best little whorehouse in Texas.
We have not.
It's just sat on my shelf. We did forget.
We did forget.
And then Bryn said, we still have that. So that is in the bag. Don't you worry. And maybe the Bryn's character will reemerge.
Ooh. One step closer to 100.
Two steps away.
Two steps away.
We got a good one lined up for the next one, haven't we?
We have.
I think a lot, our core, we've got a variety of obviously ages, but the people from our generation will remember a lot. And people from above, because it was a funny time, wasn't it? Like, it was a very funny time, and maybe people having irrational thoughts about, although there may be some messages in that time that we can take away from that modern day. We'll explore the next one. But thank you. I think, obviously, as well, we have wished some birthdays.
Yep, we probably should. So, Charlotte, happy birthday.
My wife's has just gone. So that was the 23rd.
Sarah.
My father, Andrew.
Oh, God, you said that. I was like,
27th.
Oh, and they, so they're normally listening now, aren't they, in the cabin?
Yes.
So he can finish his drinks. It's his birthday.
Yep, down it. And actually, Dad, I meant to ask you before next week, but I'm giving you a little heads up now. I want you to think about your time at the turn of the last century when you were working at Cap Gemini, and we'll talk about it on the next pod. But obviously lots of horror, bits of fun, bits of seriousness in there. Let us know what you like to do at Halloween. Yeah, what does it mean to you? Is there a good film that you think we haven't seen before? A book? You know, short stories at Halloween as well, things like that. Anything.
Anything.
Anything else you want to say?
No. Oh, get in touch with 100th stuff as well. Yeah, please.
Now, we'll be probably ramping up a bit of social media presence in the build-up to number 100.
Yeah.
We always promise
TikTok. Stuff.
We're moving to TikTok.
Imagine us two doing TikTok dances.
What would you like to see as our first TikTok? No, I'm joking. Don't. We haven't got time.
We'd just get arrested, let's be honest.
Till next time, try from me.
Try from him.